The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This episode is based on a talk called Working with Insomnia by clinical psychologist Seth Gillihan. It covers tips for getting into a good groove when it comes to our sleep lives, and they're all science-based and down-to-earth and doable. No crazy technology required.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Welcome in, good people. Thanks for joining us. Hi, Sienna.
I feel sleepy.
I was going to say.
This is the sleep podcast.
Sleepy.
All right. So you're dressed for the occasion, so to speak.
Well, I'm going to say that I need to practice some of this. This is new information for us. So we've yet to really dive in and implement some of the things, especially when it comes to sleep drives, which we're going to share with you.
Okay. Not to be confused with sex drives.
Sleep drives.
And FYI, we did do a previous episode about like tips or things that we do to try and get a better sleep that do work for us. So we'll include that in the show notes. And ironically, one of those tips was about sleep meditations that we have been using for a few months now.
And sleep music.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But the meditations are from an app, ironically called Waking Up. Mm-hmm. And we use the Waking Up app to help us fall asleep, among other things. But that app had a series about, well, a bunch of things about better living in life. And one of those installments in that series
was about insomnia.
Was called Working with Insomnia.
Yes.
So that's where the content you're about to hear comes from.
And it's actually from a psychologist, a clinical psychologist named Seth Gillihan.
So thank you, Mr. Seth.
Thank you, Mr. Seth. And I have questions for him because, so I think I think why I'm tired today.
Okay.
We're recording this on a Monday, and Monday through Friday, Toast and I wake up at 4 a.m. We try to start the sleep process around 7, try to get in bed by 7:30. I know people are like, what? It takes a while to fall asleep sometimes. And that was a really big thing to go, what? It takes us a while to fall asleep. Seth talked a little bit about that. We will get into it. But I think waking up at 4, the reason we need to do that is because with my day job, I only have a small window to do the things I need to do before my actual day job starts. So I got to wake up early. I got to wake up really early. But on the weekends, I'm like, I don't have to wake up at 4. So it's so difficult to try to keep the same schedule 7 days a week. Mm-hmm. But that is one of the things that they say. And that's we've heard that from a lot of people,
it's
right?
A long-standing piece of advice is to allow your body the same kind of rhythm.
I know. But I And I just, how do you have a social life with this
right,
kind of schedule?
Exactly.
You can only have breakfast, brunch, or lunch.
Yeah.
Or senior citizen dinner.
Right.
Right? The senior special.
Yes.
Or happy hour dinner. I don't know what it is. Anyways, all right. So are we ready to hop in?
We're ready. Okay. Let's get ready to hop in.
Okay.
I was going to say do it.
No, don't. All right.
So again, with thanks to clinical psychologist Seth Gillihan.
Yes.
Here are notes. You can use our notes. Actually, these are Sienna's notes from Working with Insomnia.
Yes, such a great episode. So we have learned so many different things about sleep over the years, read a lot of articles, heard different podcasts, but this provided something a little bit different from us, for us. I had never heard of sleep drives before, this term. So sleep drives, there are two in particular that Seth talks about. The first one we're familiar with. It's the circadian sleep drive. Mm-hmm. So it's basically our 24-hour internal clock.
And this sounds like the clock that gets thrown off when we're like,
yeah, when you sleep at different times. Or, yes.
Okay. The 24-hour clock.
24-hour okay. internal clock.
And so, this is like, is this coincide with the advice to like make sure you get bright light during the day? To help your body know that...
You know, I think that it does. Seth doesn't go into that.
Oh, okay.
But I've heard that from other places. So it really is about being consistent with your sleep schedule and sleeping at the same time every night and waking up at the same time every morning.
I see.
And then when you do that and you get into a rhythm, your body expects, your brain goes, oh... If you sleep at 10 o'clock and you wake up at 6, your body, when it comes nearing 10, it's like, oh, we're getting ready to go to sleep. I'm getting a little tired.
Okay.
And your body will naturally start to wake up when it's supposed to wake up around 6.
Okay.
Your body knows that rhythm. So that's the circadian drive.
That's so neat. Yeah, the rhythm. It really is like a rhythm. Like when you get into a stride doing an exercise or walking, it's like a really long rhythm, the 24-hour rhythm. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's circadian.
But this second one was the one I was like, what is this? This is called the homeostatic sleep drive. The homeostatic sleep drive. And this is basically our sleep hunger. The hunger for sleep. So Seth talks about just like regular food hunger, right? Mm-hmm. The longer you go without food, the hungrier you get.
Okay. Yes.
So you need to have a hunger for sleep. Your body needs to be craving sleep in order for you to be able to go to sleep. So the whole idea is to match up these two drives. Okay. So if your bedtime is 10 to 6, I mean, if your sleep schedule is you sleep at 10, you wake up at 6.
Okay.
But say one morning, it's a weekend, you wake up instead at 8. Mm-hmm. When it comes time to sleep at 10 o'clock that night, you're not going to have as much sleep hunger.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you cut into the time by 2 hours.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So your sleep hunger and your circadian drive is going to be off.
Got it. I wonder if that's why kids, you know, you try to make kids take a nap. I remember when I was a kid and they're like, okay, time to take a nap. And I'm like, I'm not even sleepy.
Right. But we're going to talk about naps.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, that's interesting. I think they do that not because the kids need the sleep, but...
They need a break from the kids.
Yeah, they need a break. I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, so, maybe it's different for kids.
Got it. So two types of sleep drives, circadian, based on the 24-hour rhythm, and homeostatic, based on sleep hunger.
Yes.
Or sleep deprivation, I guess it is... One way to think of it, huh? Okay.
Okay. So I think it might be helpful now to talk about the things that we inevitably start doing when we cannot fall asleep.
When we feel like, oh my gosh, I'm starting to have a problem with my sleep.
Yes.
Okay, so the types
of
things.
These are the behaviors, the things that actually make the problem worse. It makes your insomnia worse.
In classic fashion for the modern man.
Yeah. So there's three things.
We just make things worse.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the first thing is what Seth calls chasing sleep. Hmm. Chasing sleep. So if you have trouble sleeping, you will have an inclination to chase sleep wherever you can. You're going to be thinking like, oh, maybe I should take a nap. Or, oh my God, I better go to sleep early tonight. You're looking to make it up, right? You're like chasing sleep because you haven't been able to sleep.
Yeah. Like if you've had bad sleeps for a week, then you're like, oh, maybe I can catch up on my sleep this weekend.
You can't really catch up. I mean, you might feel better.
It's a
I don't know.
It's a futile chase.
All right.
The chasing sleep. Okay. So that makes the problem worse, huh?
It does. Yes.
Okay, so don't do it.
So the second behavior is worrying about not being able to sleep.
Which really doesn't help very much
of
anything.
You start to worry. Yeah, you start to worry about like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to go to sleep. Oh my God, how am I going to wake up tomorrow? Oh my God, I have that presentation tomorrow and I'm going to go in there all raggedy and tired. You start worrying. Mm. Or then you start ruminating about the past. Like you just start worrying because you're laying there and you can't sleep. And then you just start to worry, whether it's about sleep, whether it's about the past, whether it's about something in the future. You just start to sit there, lay there, and worry.
Okay.
Doesn't help.
Yeah, I feel very upset.
Doesn't
now
help.
After you ran me through that list of things. Okay.
Okay, third thing, third behavior. You can't help this, but you just keep trying harder to fall asleep. Doesn't help
how
us.
How do you even do that, right?
Trying
That's
harder.
That's kind of funny.
Okay.
It reminds me of like...
I've tried harder. Do you want to know how I try harder?
Okay, yeah. How?
So when I'm like, oh my God, and I've gone through all of it, right? I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to wake up. I'm going to need to have a nap tomorrow because I'm not... It's so late and I can't go to sleep. Mm. And then I'm worrying about like, what's happening tomorrow and my schedule.
Oh, no.
And then I'm like, okay, I have to try harder. Mm-hmm. So the things that I've tried is just like more mindfulness. And
that's
just
what I try, yeah.
And deep breathing and all the things.
And just trying to feel yourself in the bed, right?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I try
but
that too.
I would say it's like 50-50 chance that it actually works. But now...
Because, well, for me, I think if it doesn't work, it's because I drift... My thoughts and attention drifts from, okay, just feel yourself sinking in the bed. And somehow I find myself thinking about, oh, what's happening tomorrow? And, you know, thinking
little,
of situations.
A thought
and
sneaks in.
Like
a,
yeah,
that takes you off track. Yeah.
Right.
Or I will just like nudge you in the ribs because because sometimes you're just wiggle worming.
Yeah,
like Seth should do one for couples, you know?
And smack
like
us,
how do you
smack
do,
us wiggle worms down.
Or like, what's the, yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyways, okay. So why are these behaviors so, like, challenging?
I don't know.
Like, why are they so bad to for us to have these behaviors? Why does it make it worse? They make it worse because now when you look at your bed, instead of going, oh, I get to go to sleep, and you start to feel a sense of relaxation, you're going to feel anxiety because it's like, oh my God, I'm going to go. Remember last night I was tossing and turning. Mm-hmm. All I did was worry for 3 hours. Okay. It just becomes a different association.
That makes
Your
sense.
Your bed becomes a different yes. association. So
Got
those are the
it.
Behaviors.
Got it. And you know, I don't think Seth talked about this specifically, but
it's like he's our friend. Seth.
You know, Seth.
Yeah, Seth.
But that reminds me of the other, you know, conventional wisdom, which makes complete sense to me. It's like, don't do other things in your bed other than sleep or and have sex.
Yeah.
You know, it's not where, don't work in bed.
Mm-mm.
Don't scroll on Instagram. Or
TikTok.
Don't eat.
Don't eat in bed, people.
Right? Like make
oh
that,
gosh.
Make, it's kind of like, it's, I guess it's similar to the circadian rhythm. It's like creating a spatial association for yourself. That that bed, that's where you get there and you sleep.
Right. Don't Christmas shop.
And have sex.
In bed. Online shopping. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah. Too know? Much going on.
But then see, people have like breakfast in bed. I don't know. That doesn't feel so relaxing to me. I'd feel stressed about like spilling
crumbs.
Something.
Yeah.
I'd feel like, so I guess that's why we've never done it. Anyways, okay, so now we understand that. So what do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? Tell
what
us, what does
do
Seth say?
We do. So number one, we need to remember that sleep comes to us.
And
we don't have to try harder.
So don't chase it.
Don't chase it.
Because it'll come to you.
Sleep will come to you.
Okay.
Okay, number two.
I like that.
Now, this is super important. This was the thing that made me go, this is fresh. I really, this is such new information. And this goes back to what we shared with the homeostatic sleep drive, the sleep mm-hmm. hunger. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now this is in order to cultivate a hunger for sleep.
Okay.
Only spend the amount of time in bed that you need to.
Okay. Because even though the conventional the duration is, 8 hours, some people need less mm-hmm. and some people need a little more, right? So that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So it's kind of like
you're only going to spend, yeah.
So he has very specific advice.
Very specific
like
advice,
like
yes.
a math formula.
Yes.
About so, how to figure out how many hours do you need, really?
Right. And so you don't need to be so exact, but you just need a jumping off point.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So basically, let's take that 10 to 6 sleep schedule.
Okay.
Say if you sleep at 10 p.m., you wake up at 6 a.m., but you have trouble falling asleep.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And say, so start keeping a log.
Okay.
Okay. And say if you realize, I am actually only sleeping about 6 hours a night.
Okay. So it's like I get in bed at around 10, but I'm tossing and turning for a couple hours.
Right.
Tossing and turning for about a couple hours.
It's I don't actually like sleep until midnight. Okay. Yeah, ish.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So it means you're only sleeping for 6 hours.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
So for sleep hunger, you want to only be in bed really for those 6 hours-ish.
So for that person, we're kind of saying that, well, hey, if you're tossing and turning for a couple hours, then really what that probably means is your body only needs about 6 hours. So there's no reason for you to get in bed at 10.
Not really.
Is that
okay?
It?
I don't really know. I mean, when you think about it, it might seem like, okay, well, if that's all my body wants to sleep, mm-hmm. then, but I don't know if this person, this pretend person
right.
who sleeps at 10 and wakes at 6 is really to really ready to wake up at 6. Maybe their 6 o'clock time is because they got to wake up and go to work.
We don't have that information.
Right?
True.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're just looking for a starting off point for people who have insomnia, people who have trouble going to sleep, to try and clean up their sleep schedule a bit to see if this is going to help them have more quality sleep, where they can repair that relationship with their association with the bed, right? So it's so now when they look at their bed after sleeping, after having the sleep hunger and having a new sleep schedule, so that's the circadian rhythm, right? Mm-hmm. The circadian drive. So these two drives are going to line up a little bit better. The hunger and your circadian. So this person who is not sleeping 2 hours a night and only really sleeping about 6 hours a night, you kind of jumped ahead.
Okay.
So let's go back a little bit. So this person, 10 to 6, only realizing they're sleeping 6 hours, really going to sleep at like midnight.
Falling asleep at like midnight,
yeah. Okay. Right?
Yeah.
And they log their observations for like a week.
Okay.
I think Seth says 2 weeks, but whatever you can do it for, right? Okay. With that information, you find out, well, what's your average amount of time that you need to, that you've been actually sleeping per night?
Okay.
So say if they find, the person finds that it is about 6 hours.
Okay.
I've only really been sleeping 6 hours a night. So you take whatever that amount is and you add 30 minutes to it.
Okay.
You're going to add 30 minutes. And that's kind of like, you know, to get into that rhythm of like,
to give you time to fall asleep, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So
instead of like, as soon as you lie down, whoop, you're asleep.
Right. Yeah. So if this person needs to wake up at 6, so now whatever time you need to wake up, your desired wake up time, so say, we'll keep it simple. This person needs to wake up at 6. They could go to bed at 11:30.
Okay.
To give them that 6.5 hours. So now instead of 10 to 6, their sleep schedule would be 11:30 to 6.
Okay.
And you need to really stick to this schedule each night to recalibrate your hunger and circadian rhythms and drives and get them on the same page.
That makes sense to me.
Doesn't it make sense?
Yeah.
I thought this was really new. So then when I think about us, like sometimes I can't sleep for like 2 hours.
Okay.
But I think on average, it's maybe like an hour.
Okay.
Hour, hour half. So then I started thinking, well, then that means I can go to sleep at 8:30 or 9.
Oh, my gosh.
Which sounded really exciting. But we haven't tried it yet. You know, we have to see. But I'm pretty excited about this idea.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. So the last piece of advice. So the first thing is suggestion from Seth is sleep comes to us. Mm-hmm. The second thing is really staying in bed for only the amount of time you need to stay in bed.
Mm-hmm. That was
so that
just
you
now
can
the
do
math
your sleep hunger.
Formula,
yes.
I think. Okay.
Yes.
Yep.
So then you figure out what is your new sleep schedule to create the hunger and to adjust your circadian drive. Mm-hmm. Get them on the same page, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, last bit. Now these things are probably people are going to be familiar with, but it's because these things work, right? So 1 hour before bed, so this person who's sleeping at 11:30, so about 10:30, you want to start calming down.
So no Instagram.
No Instagram. People
no
don't
action
finish,
movies.
Yeah, don't finish the thriller series. You want to keep your nervous system at ease. And you also want a quiet, dark, and cool room. The suggestion is 65 degrees. It might be different for you.
I like that. Cool room. Mm-hmm.
And then when you are in bed and you have this 30-minute window of falling asleep, mm-hmm. you want to be mindful.
And not be having worried thoughts and all
you
of that.
You want to be in your body, feel your body. You know, what I found interesting is, I don't know which meditation we were doing, like a sleep meditation, but when uh-huh. you're laying there in bed and you're just like, okay, I'm getting ready to sleep, right? You're just, you're laying there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You think you're relaxed, but then when you go, okay, just drop your body into the bed.
Yeah.
I feel a drop.
Me
like
too.
I'm like, wow, I was not relaxed.
Yeah, me too.
It's like this, you can feel it. It's
your
like,
shoulders.
Oh, that's, you know, so when they're saying, feel your weight, fall into the bed, feel the heaviness of your arms and your legs, you know, you're feeling those sensations and feeling and allowing your body to relax. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's amazing to me.
It is.
How not relaxed I am when I get in bed.
Mm.
And I think I'm relaxed. That's the thing. It's I'm not.
I like the meditations that, because generally the sleep meditations that we've been, you know, listening to, the ones that I remember are telling you, okay, just, you know, don't try too hard.
Yeah.
Right? And they just kind of walk you through like, okay, just think of your right thumb and your right index finger.
And that's a yoga, right?
And your right middle finger. Yes, it's under a category.
Yoga nidra?
Yoga nidra.
Yeah.
Yogic sleep. And it's at that temple, right?
Like
your ring finger, then your pinky. And the back of your hand. So the tempo, when it first started, it kind of surprised me. It felt a little faster than I would have expected in terms of the movement of it. But it has been helpful. You know, they continue on like the front of your hand, your wrist.
Yeah, I don't even
your
get.
Your forearm. Your upper arm. Your shoulder. And then now feel your entire right arm is, you know, relaxed and sinking into
You're putting
bed.
Everyone to sleep now.
but it is amazing after just going through that.
Yeah.
And then you kind of step back in your observation and compare how your right arm feels to your left arm. And it's like, I can tell
the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that
it's
just
so trippy.
Amazing, the connection, you know?
Mm-hmm. So those are our notes. Those are Sienna's notes, I should say, again, from our good buddy, Seth Gillihan, and his talk about working with insomnia. And again, we found this information about sleep on the Waking Up app by Sam Harris.
So again, we'll put a link to all that stuff in the show notes. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, and let me just say that sleep gem is found within a series.
Oh yes,
that Seth Gillihan does on cognitive behavioral therapy, which is also really good. So
the whole series.
Yes.
All right. So that was an unpaid, unplanned, unsponsored promotion for Sam Harris's Waking Up app. And yeah, okay. So we'll call that an episode. Thanks for listening. And we wish you the best sleeps, but no pressure. That's how you're going to get the best sleeps.
Good night.
Good night. Live your love story.
Are you ready to ignite your best life and illuminate the world? I'm Stephanie James. I'm a motivational speaker, transformation coach, and psychotherapist. And what lights me up is helping people just like you create the greatest versions of themselves. On my podcast, Igniting the Spark, I will help you ignite your joy and reach new heights in your personal and professional life. Join me for some incredible conversations with authors, spiritual teachers, and other influential thought leaders to help guide you on your way. If you are ready to stop playing small, join me for Igniting the Spark on the mindbodyspirit.fm network or wherever you get your podcasts, and ignite your best life.